Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. My guest today is Joe Massaro. Joe is an author and a speaker. 15 years ago, God spoke to Joe and encouraged her to start the Yahweh Sisterhood Book Club while she lived in New York State. 5 years ago, she moved to Indiana and continued the book club, but with a twist. You not only read the book, but you meet the author as well, either in person or through Zoom. Since COVID-19, they are meeting strictly on Facebook. Joe is also the co-president of the newly formed Word Weavers International in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She was a co-leader, along with her husband, of Celebrate Recovery for 7 years. In 1982, Joe and her husband started a nonprofit in New York State that worked with children, families, and individuals infected and affected by AIDS and HIV for 20 years. She has a wonderful dream that I'm not going to reveal to you right now. We are going to talk about that during the show. Joe is also a speaker, and she speaks on a variety of subjects. Good morning, Joe, and welcome to Step Into the Light.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I so appreciate being on today. I have been following your podcast for a while, ever since we connected a while ago. So I have been blessed equally by what you do, and thank you for that.
Thank you, Joe. That's exciting to hear. I don't very often get feedback, and I never know who my listeners are out there. I just sometimes feel like, I hope somebody's out there. So to hear that from
you. I so understand that.
To hear that from you this morning is a true blessing, Joe, and thank you so much for sharing that with me. Well, you are a Christian author and speaker. You have an amazing dream, but like I say, I'm not going to reveal that right away. I'm going to let you share that here a little bit later in the podcast. Would you share with us what kind of childhood influences motivated you toward these pursuits? When you were a child, did you grow up in a Christian home? Not so much. Did you grow up thinking you would like to be a writer someday and a speaker? Was that one of your aspirations? Or tell us what things looked like back then for you.
Well, let me just say, none of what you just said was pertinent to me growing up. Because my life growing up was, I lived in a very difficult home with 3 other siblings and with a mom and a dad who I absolutely loved, but it was a very hard life. And part of that was based upon my mother, who had grown up in an orphanage with her other siblings. I never really felt a lot of love when I was growing up. And it was not certainly a Christian home. We were, you know, I think we went to church once in a while. We weren't really encouraged to do that. But as a child, I knew in my heart that there was a God. And one day, I was probably about 6, I had a dream. I felt that God was telling me that one day I was going to go to Africa. And little did I know, way down this road in my life, that dream is really starting to nurture in my life. The seeds that were planted then are starting to grow.
Wow. That's interesting, Joe. It's amazing how we start out with certain ideas in childhood and end up traveling a totally different path, I think, thanks to God's direction and his guidance, the people that we meet, the experiences that we have. You did mention that you and your husband managed, or I guess I mentioned that you and your husband did manage a nonprofit organization. It's been a while back. It was in the 80s for a period of time. Mm-hmm. What was your mission with that nonprofit, and how did you see God at work there?
Well, you know, initially, let's go back to a dream, because my husband had a dream. And it was to start a nonprofit and work with people that were HIV, you know, had HIV and AIDS.
And that was a big deal. The HIV AIDS was really,
And when he told me, I was like, are you sure that was God? You know, are you sure he's talking to you? it's a truth. That's exactly what it was, because it was a time when so much was being said about AIDS and so much of it was incorrect. And we knew nothing about it. All we knew was that God, you know, called us to do it. So my husband and I actually did the paperwork for a nonprofit status, and we got it. And for 20 years, we actually we did education, which was ongoing all the time. We had apartment buildings when we were in New York, in Albany, New York. And we worked on a small camp that we built from scratch. And so we ran programs. We would have like a furniture company give us furniture that was, you know, like slightly dented or something like that, that they couldn't sell.
Sure.
And we would help people that way, or help with food, or, you know, just anything that you can possibly imagine, we did. And the people that we met along the way were just so absolutely incredible, and in how they blessed our lives as well. And when you're doing something like that, you learn an awful lot about people. You know, there were people that did not want to associate with us anymore, even some family members, because of AIDS, and we certainly could understand it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the love and compassion of people was so incredible. We had Christian motorcyclists, CMA, donate all the material and built the deck, this huge wraparound deck for the camp. It was just an outpouring of love and support in so many ways. And, of course, you learn a lot about yourself as well.
Yes, you do. Share with us a little bit about that, how you felt that maybe your perspective on yourself changed, Joe, during that time.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, you heard about AIDS, you looked at, you know, AIDS, and you were like, oh, you know, that has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have it. It can't be anything that affects me. And then when we started talking about this with friends of ours, we found out that their son had AIDS. And it began this journey of recognizing what it truly means to strive to be a servant of God. That, you know, you don't do crazy, stupid things,
mm-hmm.
but you walk in his love and in his grace and in his protection. And you seek so much to hear from him every day. And that was a powerful, powerful transition in my life to do that.
I think any time we put ourselves in a position of servanthood, we learn so much more about God, and we grow so much spiritually, because we are looking away from ourselves and toward others. And where do you see God? A lot of the time is in others. So I can certainly
understand. Yeah, I so agree.
Yes, I can certainly understand that. Just an aside, Joe, you may not know this, but I grew up in New York State.
You did? Where is that?
I sure did. I grew up on the South Shore of Long Island.
Oh.
But my dad was from up in the Adirondack Country around Saranac Lake, Lake Placid area.
Okay,
and
so girl, we got the history going.
When I have been back to New York, I have not been back on the island in, I want to say, probably 40-some years. When I go back, I'll go back to visit my sister, who lives in Scroon Lake. So, to me,
wow.
The Adirondack Country is home.
Well, I was actually born in the Bronx.
Okay.
And my full name is Josephine, so they call me Josie from the Bronx. And we lived in a place called Schenectady, which is by Albany.
Yeah, spent hours at the Schenectady train station one time coming back here on the Amtrak. I know, Schenectady.
And so we love the Adirondacks. It's one of the things we probably miss the most in living in Indiana is the beautiful, beautiful mountains and all of that New York State has.
Area. It is an amazing area of the country, that's for sure. Well, Joe, getting back to what we were talking about, I just had to share that with you.
I'm glad you did.
As well. 15 years ago, I think this is so cool, you started the Yahweh Sisterhood Book Club. Tell us about it. It's such an interesting name, and from what I read about it, it's really a neat organization. So share with us about that.
Well, the interesting thing about that is I was sitting in the middle of a Celebrate Recovery training, and all of a sudden in my head, I hear this, not audible, I want you to start a book club, and I want you to name it Yahweh Sisterhood Book Club. I'm like, okay. I have never really had that happen before, but if you say to do it, I'm going to do it. And so I started it back in New York, and we started really in the homes of women, where we would read a book each month and get together and hang out, always have some food, have some great conversation. And then it moved to the church that I was going to at the time, and we did it there for years. And then we moved to Indiana, and when I moved here, God said to continue it after the church that I go to now. I go to the chapel in Fort Wayne, and they wanted me to do it there. But God said, I want you to ask the authors to speak about their books. And I was like, who am I to go and ask an author? I mean, that's really exactly what I said. And he said, but I'm sending you. All the difference in the world.
Yes.
So,
sure.
Yes. And so I said, okay. So I asked a wonderful, wonderful friend, and her husband was our pastor back in New York, Moira Sanderson. She wrote an incredible book, tells about her story of what happened to her life when she lived in Africa. And so she came and spoke, and it's continued since then. And so what I do is I ask authors to speak. People read their book, then they meet them each month. I started about 2 years ago videotaping them. And so that is what is on YouTube. So you'll see a wide variety of authors and videos up there. I just did Stacey Lee Fleury, who talked about devotion. It's a devotion for parents who have kids in crisis. I did a cry of the heart, which is about human trafficking. A military one. I did one about Eric Little, if you know him from the Chariots of Fire, the runner.
Yes.
The Christian runner. One incredible story, The Final Race by Eva Marie Everson and Eric Eichinger, I think his last name is. Incredible story about Eric, because the story really happens after he wins the Olympics, all the missionary work that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some really wonderful authors in there as well. Michelle Yule, Michelle Medlock Adams is another great one. We had Carol and Jean Kent and Cindy and David Lambert, who did a great book on marriage. Janet McHenry did a prayer walk one. Her book is incredible. I took her 30-day challenge to walk in July.
Oh,
and just,
neat.
You know, a wide variety of topics. We've touched on abortion. We've touched on the death of a child, which both of those issues have affected my life as well.
Oh, my.
And then there's a lot of fun books in there as well. So you will read from Johnny Alexander, who has some really wonderful books. She's a great novelist. Books in there like that as well. So there's a wide variety of things you'll see.
Well, I'm wondering, Joe, you said that you are now doing this on Facebook Live, is it?
Well, we're doing it on Facebook Live, but I'm doing more on Zoom, it turns out, because sometimes there's this connection issue that happens between Zoom and Facebook.
Okay.
And so you can always see the videos on YouTube. They're always up there. And we try to do them on Facebook Live. Hopefully they work well. Sometimes they don't, and then I have to just do it on Zoom.
Joe, I guess the reason I asked you that question is because this is something that I think would be really cool to be involved in, but sadly, I don't live in Indiana. I live in Colorado. Would you consider continuing this through an online venue now that you have started, now that you, with COVID, you've been doing it that way? And is this something that you might say, hey, you know what? This is a really good idea. We can do this with people all over the country. Have you thought about maybe pursuing it after the COVID-19 crisis is over and life is quote unquote back to normal?
Yeah, actually, I have been praying about this now that you're mentioning it, because we haven't even discussed this. So thank you, Jesus. I've been looking to probably do some sister chapters around the world and to create a venue where women can get on every month and enjoy the book and meet the author. So that's in the process of being worked on. So I'll let everybody know when that's, you know, official.
Absolutely. I think that would be great. That just sounds like something that would be really fun. You know, I was a member of a book club here in town. I kind of got away from it simply because of time constraints. There were often times when members of the club would say, man, wish I could talk to this author and find out why did they have this character do this and why didn't they follow up with this? And yeah, we've often talked about that, how it would be so much fun to actually have the author there for kind of a question and answer session as to what was your motivation for this? And sometimes even there have been instances where an author will, well, you're probably a member of ACFW, aren't you, like I am?
And I am, yes.
Yeah, there have been authors who have said, you know, a reader wrote to me the other day and said, did you know, where did you get the symbolism from in this? And they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize that symbolism was there. So I think it would be really fun for both the authors and the members of a book club to be able to interact like that. I think that is just such a cool idea. So anyway,
it really is a lot of fun.
I'm sure it is.
So pray for that. If listeners, can you pray for that? Because I really believe that that's something that God really wants to do. And I think it will be a blessing to so many.
Most definitely. Well, Joe, you are the author of, speaking of authors and books and so such, you are the author of a book entitled The Book Lover's Companion. What inspired you to write this book and what will readers gain from it?
Well, this is probably an extremely unusual book because that's what I'm hearing. This is so unusual. Why didn't somebody think of it earlier? So it's not a novel. It's not a self-help book. It's nothing of those kind of things. If you love to read, in this book, you will have the ability to put in 50 books that's in an index in the front. Every book has 2 pages of questions and things that you can write in. It has, you're expressing your impressions or questions about the book. You can record other books that you want to read. If you belong to a book club, you can put the list in there. You can track books that are borrowed or loaned. There's an informational pages. Let's say you go meet an author and you get a picture taken. Well, you can put the date and that information and put a picture in as well. But the great thing about this is I asked readers to submit recipes and stories that go along with them as well. Because when you think about it, we read about all different type of countries, nationalities, so many different things that we see. Mm-hmm. So we have a variety of recipes from readers, but they also have stories, like I said, that go with them. So we have Panamanian beef empanadas. I wouldn't know how to make that. Milk tart, which is a vanilla custard pie, which is from my friend Moira from Africa. And then there is just champagne chicken. I put in here, I have an award-winning cheesecake that I've made in the past for a restaurant when I lived in New York. And you have not only the recipe, but I give you all the tips and how to freeze and all of that kind of information. So there's many, many more in there. And then I dedicate, and there's quotes from authors, but I dedicated it to my Aunt Marie. So my Aunt Marie was first generation born in this country. My father's sister, she was just a remarkable woman who did so much in her lifetime. And she wrote a story about her life, and I put that in there, and I put in a photo of her as well. So I think it's amazing. I keep getting really rave reviews about it, so I'm quite thrilled.
Well, it sounds like it, and I noticed, I read somewhere that you can also make notes about how many times have I read a book, and months later, I'm thinking about that story, and I'm talking with friends, and I'm saying, oh, I read this really great book, and it took place in so-and-so of a country or whatever, and oh, man, it was great. What was the name of it? Who wrote it? Can't remember.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can date these books from the date you started to the date that it ended. And so you could just stack them. I wish I had this from the time I started to read, in all honesty, because I can't remember a lot of the books that I've read.
Right.
So.
And I like to read the compilations. What do they call them? The ones that have the novellas, and there's like 6 or 8 novellas in one book. But there's one that really sticks out in your mind But then when you go back and try to remember later which one it was that, and of course being a would-be aspiring writer too, I'm always thinking, oh man, you know, that person used the coolest technique. Who was that? So it was a really
good. I was just going to say, I'm also working on my first children's book as well. So I'm hoping to have that out sometime next year.
Before we get into that, though, I have some exciting news for my listeners that I want to share. It just so happens that Joe is a guest on my blog this week. She has offered, as those of you who go to my blogs know, most of my bloggers will offer a giveaway of the book that is being featured. Well, Joe is an extremely generous blogger because she has offered a print copy of The Book Lover's Companion to not one, not two, but three different winners. All you need to do is go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And there you will find the tabs for my blogs at the top. One is The Over 50 Writer and one is Patty's Porch. Joe is on Patty's Porch this week. And leave a comment. You don't even have to leave a huge comment. All you can say if you want to is, hi, I stopped by.
Stop by and visit me, will you?
Exactly. There is a leave a comment tab that you have to hit, and it asks you for three things. It asks you for your name. You can leave simply your first name. It will ask for where you live. You don't have to put that, or if you do, just do something general. I Colorado, meaning southeastern Colorado. When I respond to blogs, other people's blogs anyway, they will ask for your email address, but your email address is not published. I am the only one who sees that. And the only reason we request that is so that, of course, if you are a winner, I have a way to contact you. I would urge listeners to go to that blog and read a little more about Joe. She has a lot of other interesting information in the blog that she posted for me this week, too. So I would, and I guess this is a good time to take my little station identification break that I do.
Okay.
Because I always mention the website then, too. So, listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Joe Massaro. She is an author and she is also a speaker. We have been talking about some of her past accomplishments, her Yahweh Sisterhood Book Club. We talked about some of the experiences that she has had in her past. She has a wonderful dream that she's going to share with us in the second half of the show and talk about ways that she is hoping to see that dream fulfilled. Joe has a wonderful, wonderful YouTube channel. I've been there and seen some of her interviews, and they are just really great, and she has a great selection of different topics to be addressed on there. So I would encourage listeners to go to that. Now, in order to find out how to get to this YouTube channel and to Joe's Facebook page and her Yahweh Sisterhood Club Book Club website, go to, again, my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. There you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. And when you click that, you'll find a link to all of the shows that we have recorded to date. Underneath each link is a more information tab, and when you click on that, you will get all of those links that you will need to contact Joe. I believe she also supplied her email as well, if you would like to contact her. Joe, you do know that the premise of this show is for my guests to share a dark time, talk about dark time in their life and how they came back to light, or to talk about ways that they have brought light to others' lives, and you have certainly done that. But would you share a dark time in your life and how you found your way back to light?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, there have been many, as we all can probably say, but I think the one that stands out the most for me is in 2007, I was involved in a car accident. And out of that car accident, I had a traumatic brain injury.
Oh, my.
So I could not read. I could not drive. I could not. My vision was affected some. My peripheral vision was gone. I was not functioning in any way really as I normally did. My husband would leave in the morning and I would be sitting in my blue robe and my blue slippers. And they would still be on when he came home. And if he had put lunch in the refrigerator for me, it would still be there. Or he would have to make sure. Yeah. Or he would have to make sure I took a shower because it wasn't on my radar at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so all kinds of therapies that you could think of. I was getting a little bit better. And in 2010, which was about 2.5 years later, somebody hit our car again.
Oh, my goodness.
And I went even further back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I lived in a fog all the time. My children would say, "Mom, you're not the same mom anymore." I really was very isolated. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't, really seeing a lot of people at all. And one day I was in my living room and I had put on some music. I was doing that. And I heard this voice in my head again say, "What can I give you, my daughter?" And I immediately said out loud, "Your heart for your people." I believe with all my heart that that day something happened. And over a period of time, I began to get better.
Wow.
And you've heard people about all that I'm doing and all that, God has helped me to do. But you have to know where I was then in the middle of everything that was happening in my life to be taken down to a person that really could not even think about getting dressed every day. And to see where God has brought me today is just, there's no question in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit that God moved in such an incredible way. I have said, "Lord, why did I get healed? There is, so many other people that have not. And it's really not for me to know." Now I say, I'm just so thankful that I am and don't want to waste any time doing what he wants me to do. I just want to serve him in whatever way I can.
That is an amazing story, Joe. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. You certainly have come. You've made huge strides. And that is absolutely amazing that God touched you in that manner.
It's really, when I think about it and know where I was even before that, because my story is, real story is more like the woman at the well. That's really me, that story. Because my current husband, I've been married for 28 years. He's my third husband. I was married to my first husband for 10 years. We had 5 children and got divorced. Then I married again and married for 2 months and he left.
Oh my.
So when I say that, I am that woman at the well, just like so many of us, for
definitely
so many reasons, that there is no question in my heart that there is a God and that there is a God who loves and cares about each and every one of us.
Absolutely, there sure is. And he's here all the time. If we would only pay attention to the fact that he is here, I think we push him away. He never pushes us away, but we sure tend to try to ignore him sometimes.
We do, and he's just waiting on us. And if we would just open up, just take the time. Sometimes I just stop and I just take a deep breath and just allow everything that's around me to stop and just allow to spend that, even if it's just a few moments with him. That's all, that's what I need for that moment. But he wants to move. God wants to move in an incredible way in each of our lives.
Yeah, he does. He does. And sometimes it's hard for us to keep up. It sounds like you're doing a wonderful job of that, Joe. And I have intimated to our listeners more than once that you have a dream. You have an amazing dream. And I will now let you reveal what that dream is.
Well, I shared earlier about my dream when I was 6 years old, when God said that I would go to Africa, and how reading for me growing up was so important because it took me out of the chaos that was happening around me as a child. and I felt loved. I felt security. I could go anywhere I wanted to go. And so my heart is to see children all over the world have books in their hands and be able to read, but not just to do that, but to build libraries in impoverished areas where, you know, let's say my first heart to go is to go to Africa and to find a place where they need a library and to build a library. Because I think that, you know, there are ways that we can reach people and bring the love of Jesus. And I think one of the ways we do that is by, you know, great organizations, certainly Franklin Graham and all that they do. But I believe we could go to these places and build libraries that would not be real expensive and get people to donate books. And I also want to see children equipped to write, to be able to tell their stories, to be able to contribute in whatever way that God would have them do it. I see a book of stories already of children's lives being changed and writing those stories and, you know, compiling, you know, those type of things. I think we have a lot of work to do as Christians, and each person has something that God gives them. It may be just to be a better neighbor, you know, be a better neighbor to the people around you. And that's powerful. You know, for me, it's not just that. I mean, I do that, but it's not just that. And I think as God speaks to us, it's also important, because you were saying there's a lot of stuff, is to do it in his timing. I think that's the most important thing.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you, Joe.
And yep. So just, in October, oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. Talk to you about
God. So in October, October, I felt God say, I want you to get authors, Christian children's authors to read to children and to make a video of it and to post one new every day. So on a Facebook page that's called In Their Hands, every day, and today's only the 5th, so, and you can still see them throughout the entire month, every day a new author is on with a videotape reading their book, and you also have a chance to win a copy of the book. Every Sunday, we're giving away a $25 Amazon gift card, and I'm giving away on there as well a copy of my book. So people were posting pictures today of their kids reading. Some kids were in a wagon. There's downloadable sheets from each author that you can do all kinds of activities with the kids. We're having a ball. So I'm starting small. Even though I see libraries, I'm starting small and allowing God to move the rest of the way.
I think this is just amazing, Joe. I was so excited when I read about that, and I thought, oh, man, I have got to get this lady on the podcast so she can share about this in the early part of October.
Well, I appreciate it, because this is, you know, it's every day something new and exciting, and that's why I love it. And Friday, we have a gentleman on who is hysterical. He is doing a bilingual book, Derek Taylor Kent, and he is fabulous. So it's going to be lots of fun.
Well, I'll have to be sure and check that out and see what all you have on there. And the nice thing is, too, even though it's a, you said it's a Facebook page, right?
Facebook page, yep.
But just because you may have missed the past couple of days doesn't mean on Facebook Live you can always go back.
You go back anytime they're on there, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's something that's going to be accessible for quite some time. So I think that is just neat. I'm very excited for you, Joe. That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and may God bless you in it.
Well,
so
you
have not been to Africa yet, huh?
I have not, but I was just going to say, I turned 70 next week, and I am quite excited because, thank you, I really feel like my life is really just starting, this whole new area of my life, where in my parents' generation, life was pretty much over by the time you were 62 and retired. I just feel like mine is starting in a new place. So I believe one day I will put my feet in the soil of Africa. I really believe it with all my heart.
Oh, that is so exciting. Well, you know, when you sent me your bio for the for the blog, I was almost going to write and say, I think you made a typo here. Was that a 7 or should it have been like a 5 or maybe a 6?
Oh, no, honey, it's a 7.
Because you just sound so, you're just so full of enthusiasm. And when I read about all the projects that you're doing and everything, I said, wow, this is so cool. You're my age, so I know.
Well, you know,
like
I think one of the things, one of the things I think that God does is that, because this is one of the things I like to talk about with women is, you know, I want to see women set free from the things that have held us down for so long and all of the pain and the hurt and the things. And I believe he's done so much of that in my life that I actually feel like I'm probably 50. my body may not feel like it, but I feel like I'm 50. And if I could just say this one thing about the women, because my heart is for women, and I have this little thing that I have, and let me just read it, because it says, one thing rings true when I talk about my sisters. They are strong when they feel weak. They will celebrate their successes and hold your hand or wipe your tears on your hardest days. Blood did not make us sisters, but our bond is deeper than any roots in the ground. No distance separates the love we have for one another, and one sister's heartbreak is felt through each and everyone's core. See, the one thing you may not know is that our love for one another holds true through the crashing waves and the strongest of storms. I will be there to love you, to hug you, and just be still if that's what you need me to be. Because you are my sister, and I'm so blessed to have each and every one of you in my life.
That is beautiful, Joe. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So my understanding is that the focus of your speaking ministry then is to help women, to empower women?
I would say that has a great deal to do with it. You know, if someone approaches me and says, hey, we're going to be talking on this topic, could you do something? Absolutely. So,
right.
You know, there's a wide range of things that, you know, I'm able to do, you know, but I just love to love on women.
Well, that's neat. Well, I'm certainly impressed with all that you're doing and all that you have done in the past and all that you probably will do still in the future.
Well, one never knows with God, so... I'm just trying to close off some things now before I take on anything else.
Yeah, and I think we can get into that where we become really overwhelmed. I was talking to another friend of mine on a podcast here a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about that, how when you're given a certain ministry and you're working on that ministry, and then something else comes along, and you're thinking, oh, but I really have to do something about this. How can I not help this person or this situation or whatever? And after a while, you have to finally go to the Lord and say, okay, of all this stuff, what is it that you really want me to do?
Yeah, and I'll give you a little hint. You use this word, no, I can't now. Or, you know, I always say this, let me pray about it. That is the thing that I do. You know,
yes.
I don't just jump into something. I always just say, let me pray about it and I will get back to you. And then it allows me not to be moved on emotion, but it allows me to be moved on what God wants me to do.
Exactly. And you have to ignore the guilt trip thing of, well, I'm busy too.
Mm-hmm.
You should join this committee, or you should do this, or you should do that, because we're all busy, you know. But it is true. I think we, especially as women, we feel like we have to meet the needs of, and especially that mothering thing. You just feel like you have
Absolutely.
To meet the needs of everybody in the whole world. There comes a time when you have to put a cap on it and say, well, no, there's only one of me, and that's all I can do. You started to mention that in addition to the Book Lover's Companion, I really wanted to get the information out there about you being on the website this week. But you did start to mention that you were also writing a children's book, and I kind of shut you up on that so I could talk about the blog. So tell us about your children's book.
Oh, my goodness. let me just say this, that I am a reluctant writer. I never thought I would be writing to a question that you asked, you know, when I was a child. Never would I ever think I would be writing today. But God put this on my heart. So I am writing about a British bulldog named Winston and a 12-year-old boy named KT. There's a little story behind it, but what happens basically is they end up going back in time in each book and meeting someone. And there's a real person or a real event. And all these things happen, and then they come back in time. I can't tell you the whole basis of the story because it's so involved. You'd have to know the whole thing.
That's
but
okay.
The first thing that they're doing is going back in time to the first Winter Olympics because the publisher was interested in the Winter Olympics.
Oh,
so I'm doing
cool.
that. Oh, but okay. One of the people they're going to go back in time to meet is Lewis Braille. Braille.
Goodness.
Yes, and so any type of characters that you can think of, they're going to go back and meet, and there'll be a story that will develop. And I will tell you this, that KT, when he comes back, his name is actually Kendrick Teo Hunter, and he ends up being destined to be a champion. And Winston, the dog, was actually sent to him because he was a rescue dog, and for a specific purpose. So that part of the story is developed as well.
Uh-huh.
And Winston has a collar on, and when the dog touches the book, the collar, the gem in the collar envelops them into like a tornado, and that's how they go back in time.
For the time travel thing. Oh, how cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, neat. So we're just about at the end of our time here. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about that you wish, I sure wish Patty had asked me that question, and she just didn't.
Well, we covered a lot of stuff.
We did. Yes.
I would just say, that no matter who you are listening, that and whatever the situation may be, and this has been a very, very difficult year for all of us with COVID.
Oh, absolutely.
And but to, know that there's hope. There is absolutely hope. Do not allow the things that surround you to pull you down. You know, I've talked to people who have family members who have passed away from COVID or have committed suicide. It's just a time when we really need to draw on God greater than what we ever had. And I know that we think that we do. Let me just say this. I know that we think that we do, but we need, when I say we need to really press into God, this is what we need to do. I just think if we could decide that I am going to do it God's way and that I am going to allow Him to take charge in my life and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we could change this world. I believe we could. And I believe that there are people out there right now that would be hearing this, that would be very depressed and very disturbed and just saying, I don't see anything that can help me. Would it be okay if I do one thing, Patty?
Sure.
Okay. I just really feel that God is saying to sing this little song. So this is you who feel you have no hope. And feel that God is not paying attention to where your life is right now. Know that He is. Before the world began, You were on His mind. And every tear you cried is precious in His eyes. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son, and everything was done so You would come to the Father. Though Your gifts are small, broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. The power of the word,
The power of his blood. Everything was done so you would come. Everything was done so you would come.
Very nice, Joe. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for allowing me to, and thank you for this wonderful time. I felt like we were just sitting across the table having a cup of coffee together.
It's fun. I really enjoy it. And may God bless you in all of your ministries. And I think what you're doing is wonderful and exciting and amazing. And I would be willing to guess that, yes, someday in the not too distant future, the Lord is going to get you to Africa. And one of these days you are going to see a library built over there. So keep holding on to that dream, my friend.
I received that. Thank you so much. And you keep up the great work that you're doing as well.
Thank you. In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, darker than you remembered. Listeners, with us today, I would urge you to please go to Patty Sheen. That's PattiSheene.com. Check out Joe's podcast. You'll find it right below the Blog Talk Radio tab. Click on that and you will find Joe's podcast and all of the podcasts that we have recorded to date. Click the More Information tab, and that's where you will find links to get in touch with Joe to learn more about her Yahweh Sisterhood book club and other things that Joe is doing. So until next time, may God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites the